want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, take me by the hand and lead me on. Oh Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh Lord, I want to go.
enjoyed everything that's been said and been sung and ate today, naturally too. But I think something's been going on all day in my heart and my mind when Brother Fisher started us off about smiling. And it's pretty hard for me not to, you know. Most of the time I go around with a smile on my face, but when he was talking, it brought me. I got to see my mom regularly in the nursing home. And, of course, there, you know, everybody's older, and you never know what you're going to see or whatever. But there's one lady there named Penny, and I've tried to time it to where I go at least every other Tuesday. And I hit it out where they play bingo. So now Dad and I have started volunteering, helping with the ones that can't manage their own cards and stuff. And there's one lady there named Penny. It's been comical to watch her, because every now and then you can see her. She wants to smile, but she won't. And when you look at her, she's... And then when you look at her and you smile, it's like... And I'm thinking... You know, and it just makes me laugh on the inside. You know, I have to be careful that I just don't burst out laughing, you know, because it's like, how much more sour can you get? You know, and so that really, when Brother Fisher talked about smiling today, you know, all I can see was Penny in the nursing home. And I thought, oh, Lord, please help my countenance always have a smile, but especially my heart, you know. And then it made me think about, you know, how things can be bitter sometimes. The Word of God can be bitter, and you have to chew on it, you know. And then my mind went to, ooh, Lord, when it's bitter, do we go? It was just... I couldn't help but laugh on the inside. It was all I could do not to just bust out, because every time I go, if you look at her, and then if you smile, I mean, it's just like, whoa. You know, it reminds me of biting Sister Inez is wearing yellows. It reminds me of biting into just a lemon, you know, just like, how big? So I want to stand up and say today that I've got a smile on my face, and even when it's bitter, I want to have a smile on my face, because, you know, I'm thinking a smile looks so much more prettier than a frown, you know, because you get a whole lot more wrinkles with that frown. But I'm just thankful to be here today.
We all need that. Hannah here, you know, sometimes she has this grumpy look on her face, and Stan's getting to where it's like, okay, I'm going to show you a mirror and see what you look like. Well, ever since she started doing that, she looked and she's like, no, I'm smiling. Look, Papa, I'm smiling. So now when she's grumpy, he'll say, I'm going to get the mirror. So, you know, I thought, well, maybe we all need a mirror whenever to see, you know, each other, to see how we're looking. But I just want to also get up to give God the glory and the praise and acknowledgement that, you know, I don't want him to think that I'm not thankful for everything he's done for me here this last five, well, all my life, but, you know, more so this, I don't know what you want to call it. There's a song that I listen to almost every day about, thank you for the mountains, thank you for the valleys, thank you for the storms you brought me through. But if I didn't have any problems, how would I know that you could solve them, you know? So I definitely know he can solve them, because he has solved many of my problems, and he's answered many of my prayers, and physically he's given me touches that, you know, just last week, you know, I wasn't able to reach my up in the sky. You know, I didn't, when Brother Smith was talking not too long ago about people praising God like this, you know, well, sometimes I'd have to do that, not because I was shy, because I'm not a shy person, but it was because of my shoulders, my arms. I was like, oh, God, you know, I'm praising you on the inside. I just can't lift my arms very high, you know. But last week, it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, look at me. I'm raising you. I want to be able to take advantage, you know, whenever I can, when he gives me those touches to praise him. Just same way with the dancing. I mean, man, you know, a lot of you older ones that have seen me, you know, since, like, Sister Crow's known me since I was 15, and she knows that I could cut a rug, you know. I love to dance, and but, again, you know, I got these problems with my back and my my feet. But 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Natalie was telling me, Thea, you were jumping up and down. I go, I was. I don't remember. I said, but oh, I got a real good touch. And, you know, I know that when God touches me, you know, I just go at it. And I don't even know, realize, you know. And later I might pay for it. But at the time, I'm enjoying myself. And I thank him every time when he blesses me like that. And also, I wanted to let you guys know, I told Brother Smith about that last night, that I, you know, I'm having to cut down a lot of things. And we had to cut down on my, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we got rid of the tech, you know, the thing where you have to text. It's everything, like $11. And then when people text you, 75 cents every time. And a couple of people told me, one of them was my sister, they go, how come you don't ever answer me? And like, what? You don't call me? He goes, no, I text you I don't know how many times. And then somebody else and somebody else. I'm like, I don't have that ability anymore. I said, I don't. Besides, I never text them back. I would just call them because I don't, you know, I'm sorry, you know. I know a lot of grandmas do it, but I'm a real grandma. I don't do that because I don't see good anyway. And so I just use my phone to call. I'd rather talk to you. So forgive me, anybody that has texted me and I don't return your call because I didn't know. Because I didn't get them. You might think, because you text me, you might think, okay, she's getting it, but because it goes away somewhere. Somebody's getting those text messages, but I'm not. So anyway, I just letting you know ahead of time, whoever's here. I know Sister Abraham's not here, and she was one of them. So I just, you know, have to tell her. And so anyways, I just, I'm thankful. I got a real good touch today, and I don't want to never, you know, even if I don't get up publicly, I want to tell God that I appreciate every touch he's given me because, you know, without him, I couldn't, there's no way I could make it. I need him 24/7. I tell him that every day. I can't make it without you, Lord, without you holding my hand. And he's been there for me through thick and thin, and he's my best friend, and I just love him, and I love each one of y'all, and I thank you for putting up with me.
I don't know if Brother Smith is getting ready to give us a evening lesson or not, but there were several points that I'd like to reiterate from his message this afternoon that stood out to me. You know, he was talking to all of us in the sense that that we need to prepare ourselves for the people that are coming in from the world, and that's religious world or just the world, it doesn't make any difference which way they come, that they are going to have problems in their lives. And he pointed out how that we need something to help them with. I thought, Lord, you know, we think we got problems because we can look into our midst and we see things happening in our midst that really has touched our heartstrings, or it should have, I'll put it that way. But I thought here today he was pointing out how that young people and the world, and maybe even among us, have certain problems in their lives, and that according to statistics, according to government studies, according to every study that's been made, I guess psychologically, sociology, and you hit a certain life pattern, or if you're raised in a certain lifestyle, your chances of coming out of that lifestyle is almost nil. They give you this chance. You got nil or nothing. And the thing that really stood out to me in the message that Brother Smith gave us today was that God can do it. It was Sister Smith that made the statement today that God can do anything with anything. And some of us, I remember Sister Angie made a statement here a while back that just a matter, she didn't go back years, in her testimony, just seemed like just months ago that it was like this. And now look at me. And that really touched my heart. I thought, Lord, you can make a difference in every life. You have made differences in our lives. And another thought that was going through my mind, too, was that, he's been asking us to talk to the Lord, ask him, God, could you use me? Can I be used in your kingdom? Can I do something? And I've never had God to really, he's never boomed out of heaven and talked to me. He might be able to do that now. But back in times past, if he'd have done that, I'd have been down the road. I'm telling you, I'm one of them kind of guys that is spooky, spooked it pretty easy anyway, and I'd just been gone. That's all it took. Of course, it's kind of like Brother Smith, reiterating that point today that, you put your bed in hell and God's there. And if you ascend into the heavens, God's there. Regardless to where you go, God's there. And, even if he were to boom out to me from an audible voice, when I run down the road, I'd have to turn around and God would be there, In fact, he'd beat me to it. But my point is that God can use us if we'll make ourselves available to him. I thought here today he was kind of, asking for help. And I can see that he's got a load on his shoulders. Can anybody see that he's got a load on his shoulders? Can anybody see that he needs help? And, I'd like to help him. But physically, age-wise, my help is just kind of limited, isn't it? But there's some of you that are here tonight that could begin to reach out and say, God, could you use me? Would you use me? I thought, Lord, help us to get to a place where that we can begin to reach out and ask God to use us. And then when he does begin to try to use us, yield to it. yield to it. I'd like to see this church really get to the point where we could just yield to the Holy Ghost. Really touch the Lord. Let him touch us. Woo, my Lord. I enjoyed the singing last night. Did you folks that was here enjoy that? Woo. Those of you that wasn't here, you missed something. We had a good time. But here we are at a place in life. I'm at a place in my life. I don't normally get up in the morning, with a great big long frown on my face. I've never been what you would call put it this way, I've been a morning person all my life. I get up, and when I wake up in the morning, I am awake. one of the first big spats my wife and I had, she was not a morning person. And, you know, we hadn't been married very long, just a few weeks, I guess. And we woke up. It wasn't, you know, and I thought I'd got past the point. Well, I learned some things through experience. The first question I asked her this morning, is breakfast ready yet? Brother Smith, I learned not to ask that question that early in the morning. Now, my wife has never failed to get up and cook me breakfast. Don't feel that way about it. You know? Now, don't anybody, you know, take that you're supposed to from what I'm saying here. I'm just telling you that she's chose through the years to do that. And I have fixed her breakfast a few times through the years. In fact, I fixed her breakfast one time and took it to her, served her breakfast in bed, you know, a few times. Not too many times, but a few times, you know, to let her know that I could actually cook breakfast, you know. But I was doing that to show her an appreciation that I had for her for working with me through the years. I don't know what I went down that road for, but anyway, but we're you know, I'm at a place in my life where that I know what it was now, where that when I wake up in the morning, I'm thankful to be alive. When I come into church and I look at you, you are some of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. And y'all are getting prettier every day. I know what's going through your mind. It says that poor old man is losing his eyesight. His age is getting to him. It's, you know, he's really gone down the hill a long ways. But when you look at it like this, did you know that we don't realize this, but I may not be here next weekend. This may be the last service I'm in. I'd like to make every service that I'm in be good. I like to work in every service. One of the reasons why I play in our band here is not just to exhibit a great talent, because I don't feel like that I've got a great talent. I like working in church. Every time I sit down and I'm playing that instrument, I'm working in the service. I never come here and just sit down and do nothing. I just don't do that. In fact, I think if I did, I'd go home feeling more miserable than I've ever felt in my life. Just to come in and sit down and do nothing. I'm not trying to preach to anybody else. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart. I like working in service. I like doing something. I like to see the Spirit of God touch His people. I like to see them reach up and the whole heaven fall down. I enjoy that. Whew, my Lord, I enjoy it. I don't jump up and down much now, but I used to. I still feel it on the inside. I just can't get it, you know. My body's done got to the point, and I hurt all the time. Sometimes worse than others. But I'm hurting it all the time. But I feel good that I'm hurting. If I couldn't feel any pain, I'm going to be dead. And I like living. I enjoy it. So if I'm going to live, I need to enjoy the pain that I have, right? Well, it's telling me that I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Thank God I'm going to get to see some of your people one more time. Going to get to walk through the doors and say, I'm glad to see you. Woo! My Lord. Aren't you thrilled to be able to look at each other and say, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're in church with me tonight. What are we going to receive from the Lord in this service? My Lord, I know He has something for us.
We don't have a restored church yet. We don't have all the gifts working in our midst yet. But he's got something for us, and who knows, it might be tonight that he's going to give us something. I think that we ought to begin to look forward to coming to church. You know, I live 30 miles from this church, one way. But I enjoy driving here because I think there's something going to happen in every service. We've seen some services where it really did. You know, and them others we thought it was going to happen, it didn't, and we go home and say, well, Lord, we didn't see it happen tonight, but we're not going to give up. We're going to be back at the next one. Because somewhere down the line, we know that you're going to meet with your people, and we want to be there when it happens. Hallelujah. Thank God. So I'm excited about God. I'm excited about what he's going to do. There's going to be a restored church. And there's going to be people just like you and I that are going to help make it up. See, here's another thought that was running through my mind some today. We as people, well, all people, not just we, but people in general, you know, they go, we all go in circles. You know, we get up, tomorrow morning is Monday, we get up in the morning and we, if, you know, if you're like me, eat breakfast. If you're not, you may not eat breakfast, I don't know. But there's a certain routine that you have when you get up in the morning and you get ready and you go to work. You go to work, you come in tomorrow afternoon, you do certain things. And then you go to bed. Tuesday morning you get up, same thing, you just get in this routine. It's a circle. Well, if we're not careful, we could do the same thing with God. You know, we could get into a comfort zone where that God's touched us, he's dealt with us, he's brought us to the body of Christ. You know, he's opened our eyes. He's given us some understanding of the Word of God. But we get into this comfort zone to where that we feel comfortable where we're at. God, if you'll leave me alone right here, I'll be all right. But what if God wants to do something else with us? And surely he does, because we're not where he wants us yet. Correct? So could we begin to reach out and say, God, I am comfortable here. I really am. I could sit over there in that band and I could play the songs that the sisters come up with, play with the specials that, you know, that they don't tell me not to play with or whatever. I could really get into what I would call a comfort zone. Y'all wouldn't have to listen to me. I wouldn't have to worry about whether I was saying good things or not, you know. I could really get into a comfort zone there because I would be working in the service. But what if God wants something else from me and I just stayed in my comfort zone? I didn't move out. I didn't get out of that comfort zone. But God can't use me as long as I just stay locked into that little comfort zone and stay keep running that little circle. Can we step outside of our circle and say, God, I'd like to do something else. I'd like to step out of the comfort zone and go into another realm that I've never been in before. I'd like to feel more than I've ever felt before. I've felt some wonderful things happen in our midst. I've seen some good things happen in our midst. I remember years ago this took place in their service. Brother Tucker was talking about people coming in and feeling the power of God. And it touched them so great that they would get up and run out of the church. I thought, that's got to be the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Somebody feels so good that they'd run away from it. We had a young man that was, he was redheaded, and he was probably 6 or 7 years younger than myself. Come into church one evening. Power of God come in, had an altar call, that young man come to the altar, and the power of God hit him. He jumped up from the altar, turned around 4 or 5 times, went down the side of the building and out the door. Brother Tucker, he's one of these guys that's interested in saving people, and he told us, he said, you see somebody run out that door, he said, you better be going out behind them to find out what's wrong. When I seen that guy go out, I knew God had touched him. I'd seen it. You know, I felt it. I went out right behind that young man. I said, what's wrong? I thought maybe he had something on his mind, you know. He told me, he said, I'm telling you, he said, I never in my whole life felt so good. He said, that felt better than anything I have ever experienced in my whole life. I said, well, come on back in and enjoy some more of it. He said, I can't stand it. He said, absolutely, I can't stand feeling that good. Brother Smith, I don't know about a person like that. I can't believe. He never come back to our church again. Wouldn't you want to? How about us? Where do we want to stop at? Do we want to stop with just what we have, or do we want to feel better than we've ever felt? I'd like to go on with God, wouldn't you? I'd like to keep going with him. Maybe we are walking by faith. Maybe we are walking a little blind, but God is in it. God can do anything with anything. Woo! My Lord, don't you feel that in your soul tonight? Hallelujah. I thank God that he can do anything with anything. I appreciate him.
Hallelujah.
made the world and all therein. Oh, He cleansed my soul from every sin. Oh, my God can do anything.
Oh, yes, my God can do, oh, anything. Oh, yes, anything. Thank you.
Sister Krista said, God can do anything with anything. She referred to, if you have bitterness, He could give you peace. There's all kinds of natural things we could ask for, but what God's trying to transform our lives is our hearts. If we'll seek Him for to remove the bitterness, to remove the anger, to remove the hate, and all the things, and He can fill us with His love. Because perfect love casteth out all fear. You can ask for the removal of fear tonight in your heart. Fear is what controls us and causes us to sin. That's the sin that easily beset us and hold us back. If you'll reach out to Him tonight and ask Him, you know, it's not an instantaneous all the time, but it's a start. Start seeking Him to fill you with His love and to cast out all fear, all bitterness, all anger that's in your heart and in your life. He can do that for you. Ask Him. Reach out to Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah. Just love the Lord. So good to us. Just come in here and touch us on that song like that. My Lord, I love Him for that. The way He does things is so good. I wanted to announce the ladies' meeting this Saturday at 11:30 in the dining room, I guess, isn't it? It's in the dining room, is that right? As a dinner? Is it a dinner and ladies' meeting? Luncheon. All right. And then I want to mention to you, I want you to be praying about the meeting in the Dominican Republic. It'll be February the 10th, 11th, and 12th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It'll be two services each day. And I'm going to recommend that people travel on Tuesday and go home on Saturday, you know, that are traveling for the meeting. Of course, I'll go down early the weekend before to help get ready for it. And Brother, the Wichita Church got several people wanting to go. But pray for that meeting. And then pray if the Lord wants you to go. And if you can't go, well, then ask God to help you support it financially. That meeting costs quite a bit of money to put on a meeting like that. We have to do so many things that we don't do in a meeting over here. For an example, I've got churches in Santiago that have no way to get there, so I'll have to hire a bus to go get those people and bring them over there, and then we'll have to take them back home after the meeting. The people in Babado, I'll have to send a bus over there for them to go over there and bring them over and then take them back. Same thing with people in Gada. All the people on those churches have to have transportation. They don't even have bus fares. And it'd be cheaper for us to get a bus than it would to have it paid for bus fares. And then many of them from Haiti. We'll have several from Haiti, generally 50, 60 people, sometimes it's 100. I think we had over 100 in our first meeting from Haiti. And we have to do something with those people. We have to put them somewhere. And we don't have that kind of bed, so we always have to rent some kind of place to bed them down. It's not very always very good and not a very nice place, but it's the best, and it's probably not, you know. But what I'm saying, and then I'll have to have vans. I'll have to rent vehicles to go get people at the airport, take them to their motel rooms, and then buses to take them to every meeting. You got to be able to get to the meeting and back. And you go to a country, you don't have a car, and you can't rent a car unless you want to pay $100 a day, and you ain't going to go if you have to do that. So there's you can just see the expense that we have. I figure at least $2,000 in transportation expenses, minimum to $2,500, before we ever even have a meeting. And then feed everybody and pay for the meeting hall that we're renting and all of that. So I don't know. I'd say this meeting will cost at least $10,000, so, or somewhere in that figure, neighborhood. But I know the Lord will make a way, too, because He always has. But I'm just asking you to pray about it, because every time we have a meeting, God adds more people, adds more churches, more preachers. This gospel is going out. And you don't know, the Lord may be getting a place ready for you. There may be a refuge God's preparing. You know the people in Jerusalem and in all of Israel that when they received the gospel, after the day of Pentecost, that persecution got so great that they had to flee from Israel, and they fled all the way up into Greece and up into Southeast Asia. And Paul's works, when they was all enjoying the gospel down there, Paul was up there planting works. In a little while, they was up there living there. They run off up there.